Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, February the 21st. Dang, Mark, this month is just about over. Just about over.
How about it? Keith, I think this is the first time this month we've been together on this podcast.
Yeah, I know, dang, I know.
Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Where you been hiding at? Where you been hiding at? Well,
you've been on the road. You've been at the All-Star game. You've been doing a lot of things, and you're going to be heading there again.
Yeah. Well, look, today what we want to talk about is last night's win. The 76ers defeated the Brooklyn Nets 112-104. It was Joel Embiid night. Now, Mark, the first thing I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you about this game, right? So the 76ers go up. They're up, 20-4 at one point. Then they're up 26-6 at another point. And all of a sudden, Brooklyn goes on a 44-8 run, right? The Sixers overcome that. They're getting booed. They overcome the boos, and then they eventually overcome the Brooklyn Nets in overtime. But this night was all about Joel Embiid. I mean, Joel Embiid, I shouldn't say just Joel Embiid, but let's just say he was the star of the night. Joel finished with, 39 points. He had a season-high 39 points, game highs of 16 rebounds, and two block shots. You know, he was a co-game high because Al Horford also had two block shots. So when you look at it, I mean, Joel was a beast last night.
Well, here's the key, Keith. He went to the foul line 19 times. Mm-hmm. I mean, they couldn't hit. And I thought DeAndre Jordan, early in the game, was doing a pretty good job bodying him up, keeping him out from down low. But then Joel, especially in the second half, started going more there. He's 18 for 19. He says after the game, you know, having that splint off his finger has helped him. And we know he makes foul shots. And if his finger's feeling well, and he had the will to keep going and going, and I think he felt, Keith, they just couldn't stop him when he got the ball down low. And it was just a really, really impressive performance from him. And the other thing is, he played over 41 minutes. I mean, I know it was an overtime game and all that, but that's a lot of minutes for him.
Yeah, it's a lot of minutes. I mean, you know, 18 for 19. He was clutch. You know, in the fourth quarter, that was a huge block that he had at the end of the game, the forced overtime. You know, he did have 5 turnovers. He talked about that. But the thing that sticks out to me the most about Joel Embiid is where he's saying that, you know, at the All-Star game, he said, I'm back to having fun. I'm looking forward to this final third. And it looked like he wasn't really trying to force things, like getting frustrated. He played within the flow of the game, but he dominated. You know, he dominated. And you're looking at him and you're saying to yourself, like, man, if this guy could play at this level, the Sixers are going to be tough to beat in the playoffs if he can continue to play at that level.
There's no question, because he can carry a team. And was more impressive, and I know the Nets were without Kyrie, who they announced pregame is going to have season-ending shoulder surgery. But the Sixers were without Ben Simmons. And I really think, whether it was consciously or subconsciously, he put in his mind saying, we don't have our one all-star. I'm going to have to carry more than my load tonight. And I think he went in there with that kind of aggressive mindset.
Yeah, I can see that. But I also think that he was going to do it anyway.
Okay.
I mean, I do. Like, I can see what you're saying, but I think that after the way he talked at the all-star game and this and that, and he keeps saying it all starts with me. Because, see, here's my thing with Embiid. You know, Embiid has always been the leader of this team. Like, you know, he was Batman and Ben Simmons was Robin. You know, this season it got to a point where you're saying, you're hearing all these clippings and you're saying, well, who's the leader of the team? If it doesn't work out, who has to go, right? And in the back of his mind, I believe Embiid, he reads that, he sees that.
Sure.
And he wants everyone to know that, yo, I'm still the alpha dog of this group. I'm still the sheriff of this town. This is my squad. And I felt like, and nothing against Ben Simmons, but I felt like he was going to come out and impose his will, and he's going to try to do that for the rest of the season. You know, now here's my question. Some people might say, well, he seems energetic now. He seems fired up. Where was that most of the season, right? And then you look at it, like, Embiid is looking at it like, yo, the playoffs are about to come. So maybe do you think that this is a result of him saying, hey, it's about to get real. I need to get my team right, and I need to perform well in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's been disappointed by his own performance. And he even said after the game on Thursday night how, you know, he was just trying to get everybody involved and things like that. He says he wants to still do that, but the bottom line is he wants to dominate because he knows if he dominates, his team has a great shot to win. And like you said about his team or Simmons' team, as great as Simmons is, no one can dominate the way Embiid can when he gets it going. And no one can carry the team the way Embiid can. He knows it. I think his teammates know it. And we saw an example of it on Thursday night.
Yes, we did. We did. When we get right back, we're going to talk about Alec Burks. We'll be right back after this commercial break. All right, Mark. So, Alec Burks, he had a game. It was crazy. For the first 9 minutes, he was standing in the corner. The ball never swung to his side. And, you know, the ball never swung to his side. And then the ball never swung to his side. And then all of a sudden, Brett Brown calls a timeout. And then they drew up a play for him, and he buries a three, right? Now, this guy ends up with 19 points. He shot 6-for-11. He shot 2-for-4 on threes. He was 5-for-5 from the foul line. He had 4 rebounds. He had 1 assist, and he was a +4, but in the 19 points, right? 19 points off the bench. Brett Brown said yesterday at practice that this guy is going to be our go-to guy off the bench. Now, early on, they weren't giving him the ball. In overtime, he scored 5 points. He scored five. So, right then and there, you're looking at it like, wow, this guy can be something special.
And the other thing is, Keith, and we obviously didn't see a lot of him in Golden State, although he's been in the league for quite some time, he was creating his own shot. That, to me, is as impressive as anything. It's not like he's just a standstill jump shooter. He can create his own shot. He could drive. One time he had a great drive to the basket. So he looks like he's got an offensive game. Now, Brett Brown said they were going to him more in the second half. Well, they couldn't have gone to him any less. He only took one shot in the first half. So he really picked it up. But if he can be that kind of instant offense guy, because let's be honest, they didn't acquire him for his defense. But if he can be that guy, they need a guy. They need a perimeter guy. But you know what else you kind of like about his game, too? He's a pretty good medium-range shooter as well. It's not like he just stands at the three-point line. So I think that maybe Brett Brown, you know, knew this, envisioned this, and at least against the Brooklyn Nets, that's how it all came out.
Yeah, against the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, you know, he played well. I really like what he does. I like what he brings to this team. You know, it was a game where when you look at it, there were certain guys who really didn't have their best games. Now, like a guy like Furkan Korkmaz, he was a minus 13. He was 2-for-5 shooting. You know, Matisse Thybulle, he was a -1, but he was held scoreless. He missed his 2 shots. So when you look at it, here's a guy who basically stepped up when the other perimeter guys struggled. You know, Raul Neto, he had 6 points. He was 1-for-4 shooting. You know, so he played well, and he did what, you know, what the Sixers, you know, went out and got him for. Now, the question is does he make their bench a whole lot better in regards to them moving up the standings, in regards to them being able to beat Miami or beat Boston or beat Toronto in the playoff series? That's the question. And, you know, to be honest with you, that's something that we'll have to figure out in a couple weeks. You can't go off of one game against a Brooklyn Nets team that they're supposed to be.
No, at least, though, Keith, he's got a little track record even before this year. But this year, and we know he played on a team that wasn't very good at all in Golden State, but he was averaging 16-1 a game. And, you know, he can score. Brett Brown was going with some offense defense in this game. He was bringing in Matisse Thybulle late in the game in defensive situations, and I could see him doing that, where he'll take Burks off the court when he's going to offense defense. But I think he can. Look at the makeup of the bench. I mean, Mike Scott, who was considered before maybe their first or second top guy off the bench, you know, as the season began, didn't even get to play Thursday night. So the bench is kind of reshaping itself, and I expect Burks to be a major part of it.
And you know what? Here's something about that. You expect Burks to be a major part of it, right? So the Sixers have 5 post players on the team. Only 2 of them played. You know, and we're talking about Embiid. I mean, well, Tobias is really supposed to be a post player, but he's a stretch. He's a between, like he could play the 3 to 4.
He's a versatile.
So I don't lump him in with the other guys. I don't lump him in. But when you look at it, so Kyle O'Quinn didn't play a 5-4. That means a center / power forward. Norvell Pell, a center, didn't play. Mike Scott didn't play. They were the 3 guys who were active, who didn't get any run, you know, and it just tells you the Sixers, their bench, they want to throw perimeter guys out there who are interchangeable, and then also Ben Simmons didn't play, so can you imagine someone else would have missed it, and then so you're going to have Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Al Horford, they're going to be the 3 guys who are going to get the run on there.
But how about another thing that caught my eye? How about Al Horford? On a night Ben Simmons isn't there, so you have some extra minutes, played under 19 minutes.
Yeah, you're right. He played 18:34. I think a lot of that had to do with him finishing the game with a minus 26. You know? I mean, he did come back and have 2 blocks and stuff like that, and he made a couple shots, but he was struggling a little bit early on. I mean, he was struggling early on. You know, in regards to Ben, I mean, maybe that's something we should have talked about earlier. Ben Simmons missed the game with lower back tightness. We'll know more about his availability for Saturday's game tomorrow. But the Sixers, you know, went about it, and they said, like, it wasn't something that they were too serious about. You know, he reported that he had back tightness while going up for a rebound and Wednesday's practice. So, you know, we'll see. He got treatment after practice. His back was still bothering him, and he woke up Thursday morning, and his back was still bothering him. So, you know, it was just one of those things that the Sixers were trying to be careful. Now, he was at the game. He was walking around as if he didn't have any back problems when he was, you know, cheering for his teammates and stuff like that. So, you know, that's something that we'll monitor.
Yeah, he's had this before.
Yeah, he's had it before.
And you can never just shoo away a back problem, because they can be funny things. So, well, I mean, we're not playing doctor here, but we'll just see what happens. Like you said, the team, at least outwardly, did not seem overly concerned about long-term ramifications. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we will. And we'll be right back. And when we get right back after this commercial break, we're going to talk about tomorrow's game against the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll be right back. All right, Mark, so what's your thoughts about this upcoming game against the Bucks?
It's interesting, Keith, because the last the last game at Milwaukee, I guess it was 112-101. You were there, obviously. The Sixers almost were talking as if it was a moral victory. You know, that, and that was the last game before they started this current win streak. And they were almost encouraged by the fact that they fought back and they were competitive against them. Now, obviously, moral victories when you're a team of this caliber, you shouldn't have them. But whatever. If that means they're going in there a little more confident, and B talked about the challenge that he really is looking forward to of playing against Giannis. So we'll have to see, but it's going to be a major measuring stick. We've talked ad nauseum about their 9-19 road record. They've got to start turning it around there. What better place than in a pretty tough place to play, you know, against the Milwaukee Bucks team that is 47-8. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, they're 47-8. You know, right now, the Bucks are 25-3 at home. So, you know, the Sixers have the league's best record at 26-2, and the Bucks have the second best home record at 25-3. So it's going to be a tough matchup for them, and it's going to be a really big barometer for them to see how much they have improved. Now, you know, Joel Embiid says that he is the best player in the world in the league. You know, he says that he's having fun. He's saying that he's doing a lot of things, that he is the man. Well, we're going to find out a lot come Saturday, because this is what he wants. This is what you would want if you were a standout player, to go to the number one team, go on their floor, and go there and give it to them. And they did it before last year. But, you know, right now, let's keep it real. As good as the Sixers are at home, they struggle mightily on the road. They have a 9-19 record on the road. I believe they lost, what, four games in a row on the road? Four or five on the road? So, no, they lost four in a row straight. So, it's going to be tough. But we'll see what they can do. Well, I mean, we'll actually see what they can do, and this is what they want. This is what they want.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, we talk about Giannis, and I think right now he's again going to win a second straight MVP award. But Chris Middleton is like the Scottie Pippen of that team, you know?
Yeah.
To Jordan. And I think Chris Middleton is a proven all-star. He's a guy, in fact, against Detroit on Thursday, hits 4 out of 5 threes. And I just think calling him a complimentary player is not giving him enough credit. I just think he's an excellent player, and he's a guy that the Sixers are going to have to watch as well. And the other guy is Eric Bledsoe, who's, you know, he's an all-defensive player. He's also one of their top scorers, kind of runs the show there. And so this is a very talented team, but it helps when you have the best player in the league on your team. Now, Embiid may not think that. He might think he is the best player in the league. But I think it's going to be a very, very tough game for the 76ers, and it could be a real measuring stick if they can somehow pull this out.
And not only that, like right now you look at it, they have when you look at their roster and you look at their starting five, so they have an extremely veteran ball club. You have Eric Bledsoe, who's in his 10th season. You have Wesley Matthews in his 11th season. Brook Lopez in his 12th. Giannis in his 7th. And then Chris Middleton in his 8th. Now, what they did is they kind of like improved their bench. They went out there and got Marvin Williams.
Yep.
They signed him. They waived Dragan Bender. But when you go out and get a Marvin Williams type of guy, wow, and you bringing that off the bench, that's great. Now, you know, he was in Charlotte for a little bit, so in Charlotte struggled, so a lot of people forgot about him. But he's a quality addition for that team.
Well, he can certainly stretch defenses. He can certainly hit a three. I like their bench. I think it's been a little inconsistent at times, though, Keith. I think George Hill is a kind of a sniper type guy that can, you know, that can reel off 10 points in like 2 minutes. You know, he's a guy, he's a veteran, he's all the time with the San Antonio Spurs. So I think he's a real quality guy off the bench. And also our old friend Dante DiVincenzo from Villanova, who's had an up-and-down season, but, you know, he can hit a three. He's very athletic. He defends. And I think a guy like that can't crack the starting lineup, shows the depth of this Milwaukee team.
Yeah. You're right. So it should be a pretty good one. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Sixers can do. Again, this is the true test. I mean, these winning these four straight home games, they have a four-game winning streak, it's kind of like fool's gold a little bit because they're 26-2 at home. I mean, I shouldn't say fool's gold. It's just what they do at home. So I just want to see if they can have a great performance on the road. And right now, I mean, you look at them, they're in fifth place in the Eastern Conference, a half a game behind the fourth place Miami Heat, who lost last night to the Atlanta Hawks. But they're four games behind the third place Boston Celtics. So, you know, these are games that the Sixers would really like to steal. They got to win the games that they're favored to win, but they're not going to be favored in this one. But at the same time, it will be great for them moving forward if they could get this victory.
Well, Keith, they have 26 games left. 18 of them are against teams with losing records. So you're right. So the rare one against a winning record, they really want to test their ability against the Bucks. But there are a lot of games, whether it's home or on the road, that they should be winning in these final 26.
Exactly. Excuse me, y'all. I want to thank y'all for listening. And have a great day. Hey, Mark, thanks for joining the podcast, too.
Great to be here, Keith.
Peace.